Welcome to the primary edition of your local talking newspaper covering St Albans, Harpenden and all the villages within the district. You've just heard a piece of music which is called Rendezvous. We hope you enjoyed listening to it and we'll be playing more of it later on. As always, our thanks go to Goffby Music, who's allowed us to use this piece of music. Today's edition of your talking newspaper is for week ending the 2nd of November 2019. The news items come from the Hearts Advertiser and the Review. Here is my first news item. Families' tributes to crash victims. The families of two motorists who died in a crash in St Albans have paid tribute to their loved ones. The fatal crash in Redbourne Road took place late at night on Wednesday, October the 9th, and involved two cars. Tony Southwood, who is 72 and from St Albans, and 55-year-old Gillian Agnes Williams from Dunstable were sadly pronounced dead at the scene. Tony's family said Tony Southwood, a beloved husband, father, son-in-law, granddad, brother, uncle and friend, has left a hole that will never be filled. Gillian's family said, taken too soon, a day will not pass when we do not think of you. A loving wife to Donovan, a beautiful mum to Kieran, Whitney and Daryl, a loving grandmother to Blake and Aulia, a cherished sister and friend. We love who you are and will miss all of you. Your vibrant red lipstick, your beautiful smile that lit up the room, and your amazing kind soul. You'll be missed by all of your family and friends. Our hearts are broken. Rest in peace from all who loved you. Both families are continuing to receive support from specially trained officers from the Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Road Policing Unit. And after releasing these tributes through the police, have asked that their privacy is respected at this time. The crash took place at 11:45 p.m. and involved a Mercedes-Benz 350 driven by Tony and a silver Peugeot 308 convertible driven by Gillian. Police attended alongside an ambulance, a rapid response vehicle, an ambulance officer, and Hearts and Essex Air Ambulance, and Redbourne Road was closed at both ends while emergency services dealt with the incident. PC Felicity Moody of the Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Serious Collision Investigation Unit said, "We're investigating what happened, and as part of this, we'd like to hear from anyone who saw the collision or who may have seen the vehicles prior to it."
Hello, I'm Julia. £400 million still not enough for the new hospital. The £400 million promised for hospital services in West Hertfordshire by Prime Minister Boris Johnson would not be enough to build a new hospital, county councillors have been told. Earlier this month, it was confirmed the money would be available to West Hertfordshire to develop hospital services. That commitment was echoed days later when Prime Minister Boris Johnson toured existing facilities at Watford General Hospital. Health bosses had already submitted a £350 million bid, and that would retain Watford General, St Albans City Hospital and Hemel Hempstead Hospital, with the bulk of the investment focused on Watford General. A long-running campaign has called for an all-new A&E hospital to be built on a fresh site between Watford, Hemel Hempstead and St Albans, rather than refurbishing existing buildings. But on Wednesday last week, health chiefs told county councillors that this promise of an additional £50 million was still not enough to consider building a new hospital. They told members of the council's health scrutiny committee that the promised £400 million was not in addition to funds that health commissioners had applied for, as some people had believed. This funding would be a loan rather than a grant, so health chiefs would have to pay back millions of pounds every year. Hearts Valley's chief executive Catherine Magson said, "It's £400 million total, not in addition. That doesn't give us the ability to build a new hospital." Councillor Fiona Guest, who's also a member of Decorum Borough Council, asked how the Princess Alexandra Hospital in Harlow was able to plan for a new built hospital when West Hertfordshire could not. Ms Magson said there were differences between the business cases of the two organisations. Both would have to follow the same rules and guidelines. Ms Magson also told councillors that one of the key tests in the allocation of funds was whether it was affordable to pay back. Even on an allocation of £350 million, she said, West Hertfordshire would have to pay back £16 million a year. Councillors were told that over the summer, the possibility of a proposal to invest in Watford General and a new planned care centre was put forward. The meeting heard that this would require a public consultation. There is no set date for a judicial review into the consideration of a new build hospital.
Hello, Susan here. Community Meadow remains protected after new planning appeal is squashed. An appeal to allow horses to graze on a community meadow in St Albans has been dismissed by the Planning Inspectorate. Bedmond Field off Bedmond Lane has been listed as an asset of community value, known as ACV, since 2014, but its status expired in March after 5 years. The meadow is under threat of development from Carla Holmes, who want to build stables and a road access on the site to make it suitable for horses to graze, and who have unsuccessfully challenged the meadow's ACV status in the Court of Appeal. St Albans District Council refused planning permission for the development in January this year, and Carla Holmes appealed against the decision. The appeal was dismissed on Monday on the grounds that the meadow is on greenbelt land. A statement from the inspector read, "The previous inspector found that with regard to the change of use, the proposal would provide for an outdoor recreational use of the site. He went on to find that the stables would have a very limited effect on openness. I agree that the modest scale of the stable building means that its effect on openness would be limited. Nonetheless, given the undeveloped nature of the site, in my judgment, that effect is still material. While the road accesses were deemed to not constitute inappropriate development, the stables themselves were judged as inappropriate, and there were no special circumstances to justify building on the land. Verulam Residents Association has long opposed development on the meadow. Chairman Timothy Beecroft said, "This is now the third time that an application to develop Bedmond Lane Field has been refused by St Albans Council, and that the appeal against that refusal has been dismissed by an independent planning inspector. Our pleasure at this result is tempered by the fact that there seems to be no end to this process. Sadly, there is nothing to stop Carla Holmes, who are now 100% owned by Legal & General, putting in yet another slightly different application. We'll see if they do. I'm sure it will be opposed as vigorously as the previous two. In the meantime, we can enjoy the fact that, for the time being at least, Bedmond Lane Field is safe from the developers."
A family of five is caravanning around Europe on an amazing volunteering tour. A St Albans family of five heading across Europe in a caravan is volunteering all the way. Karen and Warren Benedel and their three children are offering their services for a variety of jobs in return for free meals and somewhere to pitch up. Karen said, "I was born and brought up in Cape Town before working in several other countries, including the UK, for 13 years. I've had such fantastic experiences meeting lots of different people, and I wanted to show my children all the world has to offer." Planning for the trip took over a year, which involved whittling down the family's possessions and preparing their European schedule of volunteering projects. The family lived on a campsite in St Albans, while the children attended Verulam School and St Albans Girls' School. Dad Warren said, "The issue of education was one we needed to solve properly before we left. How were the children going to maintain their studies, especially our eldest son, Sebastian, who'll be sitting his GCSEs next summer? We decided that homeschooling would be the perfect solution. The course we follow, through Wolseley Hall, Oxford, provides structure and accountability, but also flexibility. We balance their studies, their volunteering work, and time off to explore the culture of the places we're staying in." Aidan, 14, said homeschooling has been quite the experience the last 6 months. "As a result, I've been able to travel and do all sorts of amazing things. We've made some really special new friendships. I've learned to surf in Al Jazeera, kayaked down the Mondego River. I've learned about permaculture at a nursery in France. I've helped out at a wellness retreat in Spain, and now we're in Belgium." Homeschooling has allowed myself and my family to go on this amazing adventure while still giving us the chance to complete our IGCSEs along the way. Ella, 12, said, "We've had so many fun times already, but my favourite has been helping the different families we've stayed with and having the opportunity to learn new languages and sample lots of traditional food."
Modern slavery is here and happening right now, say police. Modern slavery is on the rise in Hertfordshire, according to the latest figures released by the county's police force. The number of modern slavery offences in the county has risen from 10 in 2017 to 55 in 2018-19. Despite the increase, it has proven difficult to secure convictions, with just 5 arrests made in 2018-19. Hertfordshire's Modern Slavery Partnership teamed up with organisations across the country for UK Anti-Slavery Day on October the 18th, raising awareness of the growing scourge of modern slavery. Jo Fisher, chairperson of the Hertfordshire Modern Slavery Partnership and Operations Director for Services for Young People at Herts County Council, said, "Modern slavery is an underreported and a little understood crime, but it is happening in Hertfordshire right now. Although difficult to detect, we know exploitation has a devastating and profound effect on the lives of the victims. The Hertfordshire Modern Slavery Partnership brings together all of the county's agencies to ensure that victims are identified and supported and offenders are brought to justice. By helping people know how to spot the signs, we'll be more likely to be able to help victims get the protection they need." Modern slavery can take a number of forms, including the coercion of people into forced labour, criminality and servitude. Many victims work in the construction industry, in agriculture, in the sex industry, and have often been trafficked from overseas. Police and Crime Commissioner for Hertfordshire, David Lloyd, warns that modern slavery can affect anyone, regardless of age, ethnicity, nationality, gender or economic background. Victims are usually vulnerable, and criminals target them in order to coerce them into forced or exploitative work, he added. "We now have a county-wide modern slavery strategy with a coordinated action plan to identify and reduce all forms of modern slavery by increasing awareness, better coordinating of operational activity, and ultimately providing a better service for victims."
Harpenden heart failure patient enjoys surprise visit from Heartbeat actor. A Harpenden heart failure patient enjoyed a surprise visit from the star of one of his favourite TV shows. Actor Fiona Dolman sat down with Jamie Wilding, 29, from Pickford Hill to talk Heartbeat, football, rugby, the London Marathon and comparing tattoos. The star, who plays Sarah Barnaby in ITV's Midsummer Murders and whose other acting credits include The Royal Today, The Bill and Holby City, was visiting the Hospice of St Francis in Berkhamsted ahead of their annual general meeting last week. "It was amazing," said Jamie afterwards. "It definitely made my day. It was something I never thought I'd be able to do. I even said to her, 'I can't believe this is happening.' She was amazingly warm. I went to shake her hand and she just gave me a big hug instead. I've been a fan since the late 90s. I really like her character, Jackie Bradley, because she's feisty like me. We talked about Heartbeat and how my nan, who's 82, and auntie visit the set near Whitby every year, and loads of other things, including my 9 tattoos, which she loved. It was just lovely of her to take time to come and chat to me." In response to messages from Fiona, 9 other Heartbeat cast members, past and present, have been sending Jamie personal videos saying hello and wishing him well, including Trisha Penrose, who plays Heartbeat sweetheart Gina Bellamy, and Joe McFadden, aka PC Joe Mason. Jamie said, "It's been crazy seeing all the faces I recognise saying hello to me. It's made my year." Fiona also addressed hospice patrons, association members, supporters, trustees, volunteers and staff, speaking with heartfelt candour about the hospice's invaluable, exceptional and seamless care for her late father, Gordon, from Kings Langley. The peace that came from Dad being cared for at St Francis was immeasurable, she said. The excellence was across the board. The empathy and compassion was from each and every member of staff at all times, from the gardeners, cleaners and volunteers, to the physios, community team, wonderful nurses, consultants and chaplain. All of them took their time and gave their respect and patience to Dad and to all of us. And there's a lovely photograph of Fiona Dolman with Jamie Wilding in the hospital.
A St Albans community hero was surprised when a TV crew turned up at her work. Wendy Seabrook, who works on the Elizabeth Arden counter in the St Peter's Street branch of Boots, was greeted by a Channel 5 film crew, along with singer and presenter Jane McDonald. The celebrity had been told all about Wendy's dedication to her local community, including the £88,000 that she has raised over the last 25 years through various charitable beauty events. Family and friends waited outside the St Albans Boots store, with the film crew anticipating seeing Wendy's reaction. Wendy said it was such a surprise. I couldn't believe all of my family were waiting for me, along with Jane too. Jane joined Wendy on the Elizabeth Arden counter, and Wendy said she had the best time. Wendy has also been invited to the live recording of the show on November the 22nd in Manchester. The Channel 5 documentary, Jane and Friends, airs this December, just in time for Christmas.
Harpenden Vet. A Harpenden vet has died after running a practice in the town for more than 27 years. Alastair Poole ran the eponymous small animal veterinary surgeon in Luton Road and sadly passed away on Sunday, October the 14th. A statement from his wife, Sue, and sons George and Ed was posted to the surgery's website, thanking the people of Harpenden for their support over the years. The statement said, "It is with deepest regret that we have to inform you that Alastair died on Sunday. We would like to assure you that the practice will continue as normal under the wonderful care of his dedicated and talented team." Alastair graduated from the University of Glasgow in 1985 and started work shortly after at a mixed practice in St Albans before deciding to focus on small animals. The Harpenden property became available in 1991 and Alastair opened his own practice in 1992.
Respite care under threat. County Council says centres are underused. Concerns have been raised at proposals to close some short break centres for adults with disabilities. The short break centres offer adults with disabilities a break from their daily routine, but they are primarily designed to give much needed respite to those who devote much of their lives to their care. Currently, the council offers respite places at 8 residential centres. But now they are looking at proposals to close 3 of these centres: Hicksbury Lane in St Albans, Isabel Court in Hoddesdon and Chewin Road in Hemel Hempstead, which provide a total of 13 respite places. And although the plans are at an early consultation stage, that has prompted Labour councillors Nigel Bell and Sharon Taylor to raise the issue. At a meeting of the Performance and Resources Cabinet Panel on Thursday, Councillor Sharon Taylor said it was important not to disrupt a service that was incredibly valuable. "This can have such a profound impact on people's lives," she said. According to the County Council, the existing short break centres are underused, with some centres less than half full during 2018-19. And they point to carers who are using direct payments to secure alternative provisions from private providers. But whether the places at the 8 respite centres are used or not, the County Council says it still has to meet the costs, and £900,000 a year could be better used elsewhere. And they say most people using the 3 centres could access an alternative within 15 miles of their homes. At a meeting of the County Council's Adult Care and Health Cabinet Panel on Tuesday, October the 22nd, Councillor Nigel Bell said he hoped that Chewin Road would remain open after talking to carers who use the service. Director of Adult Care and Health Ian McBeath told him that consultation had started and based on feedback they were also looking at alternatives. The consultation will end on November the 7th. Public meetings will be held at Fleetville Community Centre in St Albans on October the 30th at 1 p.m. and at King's Langley Services Club in King's Langley on November the 1st at 2 p.m.
This story is accompanied by a photograph of Members of Parliament Anne Main and Oliver Dowden protesting against the rail freight terminal that's proposed, and they're holding a banner which says, "Stop the freight terminal now." MP calls for dreadful rail freight plan to be rescinded. St Albans MP Anne Main has called for planning permission for the proposed strategic rail freight interchange, SRFI for short, to be rescinded. In a letter to Transport Secretary Grant Shapps, Mrs Main said the SRFI is almost unanimously opposed by her constituents and described it as a dreadful use of this land that will cause nothing but pollution and disruption to road and rail travellers. Developers Seagrow, previously known as Helio Slough, were granted planning permission for the rail freight terminal by former Communities Secretary Eric Pickles in 2014. If it goes ahead, the terminal would be built on Greenbelt land on the former Radlett Aerodrome site. Mrs Main said, "I've pressed ministers for years about this site and we're still no clearer on how the SRFI could be workable. There is no clarity on tunnel upgrades, pathing for the trains and the inevitable impact this will have on commuter journeys on the line. Further, the site will have a major impact on our roads. The number of lorries that will be accessing the SRFI will add to the congestion my constituents regularly have to endure." At the start of this year, Herts County Council offered the site up for housing as part of the draft St Albans District Local Plan, which Mrs Main described as a far more desirable use of this land if it's to be taken out of the Greenbelt. In her letter, Mrs Main asked Mr Shapps to rescind the SRFI planning application and to instead promote the site for housing. After sending the letter, she said, "This has gone on far too long now. My constituents strongly oppose this dreadful plan, and it's completely obvious that this site should be used for housing instead. The SRFI would be incredibly damaging to our environment, road and rail links, and is another lost site desperately needed housing." Previously, Mrs Main and Hartsmere MP Oliver Dowden have both written to Network Rail opposing the SRFI. Mrs Main said, "This new government has approached lots of issues with energy, enthusiasm and common sense, and has taken action when it's needed. I'm now calling for them to do exactly that with the SRFI. I'll be keeping up the pressure in Westminster to try to make sure this happens."
Sustainable St Albans receives donation from Ukulele Group. Ukulele Group Ver Players has raised £1,500 at its annual concert in aid of the charity Sustainable St Albans. Ver Players, which has over 70 members and regularly meets in the Rose and Crown pub in St Michael's Village and the Courtyard Cafe on Hatfield Road, held the fundraiser at Trinity Church earlier this month. The concert featured the Hot Potato Syncopators, one of the country's funniest, jazziest ukulele bands, as the headline act, supported by a host of local singers and ukulele players. The money raised will go towards supporting Sustainable St Albans as it seeks to put the city on a more environmentally friendly footing. The charity works to find positive and creative ways to act locally to raise awareness and address the challenges of climate change, live more sustainably and move towards a low-carbon economy. Earlier this year, it organised the 3-week St Albans Sustainability Festival, which saw people across the district engage in a jam-packed schedule of more than 160 events. These included a sustainable cooking lesson by the Cobbled Kitchen, a Bees and Trees talk run by Sandridge Parish Council, and a River Fly demo on the River Ver with the Ver Valley Society. Linda Schall, a trustee at Sustainable St Albans, was delighted to receive the cheque on behalf of the charity. Sustainable St Albans is so grateful to the fabulous Ver Players for this huge donation, she said. Not only did local residents get a great evening of music at the Ver Players annual charity concert, they will also benefit from this donation. it will be used in our work to inspire individuals and groups in the district to make practical changes to reduce our carbon footprint and protect the local environment. Stephen Ragg, founder of Verplayer, said, "It was a great evening and wonderful to see the talent play on stage together with some of the best entertainers in the country. We were delighted to have raised this money for a local charity focused on finding solutions to help us all lead more responsible lives in harmony with the natural world." And there's a photograph of at least 20 ukulele players holding up their instruments and smiling.
St Albans City Football Club has launched a networking group to share their experience with other local businesses. Club is designed to share the benefits of the Saints' growth and brand, as well as raising awareness of the contribution they intend to make in the future. The first networking event will be held at St Michael's Manor Hotel in Fishbourne Street from 4pm to 6pm on Wednesday, November the 13th. Refreshments will be provided from the hotel's kitchens, including sandwiches, pastries, tea, coffee and soft drinks. Club manager Ian Allinson will interview guest speaker David Clark, who has worked in business and finance for more than 20 years. David has also had an international football career, representing Great Britain and England's blind football team 144 times. The evening costs £25 and tickets can be bought on the football club's website or by calling 01727 848 914.
This article appears below a photograph of two St Albans residents standing on a dry riverbed of the River Vare. One is holding a poster saying, "There is no Planet B," and the other holds a poster saying, "March now or swim later." Headline says, "Agency working flat out to limit damage to River Vare." The Environment Agency has provided an update on the River Vare revitalisation project after St Albans District Council passed a motion demanding effective action. A spokesman for the Environment Agency assured concerned parties that the project is on schedule and that the agency is working flat out to limit the damage the dry weather is having. Responding to Councillor Anthony Rowlands, Environment Agency spokesman Peter O'Connor said, "The Environment Agency has funded the project to date, and we are paying for the design stage. Funding has not yet been secured to realise the incredible benefits for people and wildlife this project will bring. All organisations will need to step up and contribute." The motion for effective action was first proposed by Labour District Councillor Malachy Pakenham. Driving the revitalisation of the river project alongside the Environment Agency are Affinity Water, Herts County Council, St Albans City and District Council and Thames Water. The Environment Agency will hold another public consultation within the next few months before seeking planning permission from SADC in 2020 for the next stages of the project. The agency was also keen to remind people that the issues affecting the River Vare take place in the context of a prolonged period of dry weather and the abstraction of water for human consumption. Mr. O'Connor said, "There's a balance between maintaining the environment and meeting consumer demand. Plans will include significant enhancements to the park and the water quality of its artificial lakes. Chalk streams like the River Vare need rain after long periods of dry weather. We're working with Affinity Water to reduce by half the amount of water they take from the River Vare by 2024. Environment Agency Chief Executive Sir James Bevan chairs the National Drought Group, which consists of local government, water companies and environmental groups, and acts as a forum to mitigate issues around dry weather. The group has put pressure on water companies to reduce abstraction where it causes most environmental harm, to reduce leaks and to improve overall management of the river."
Beware fake cop scam calls. People have been warned to watch out for scammers pretending they're police. Hertfordshire Constabulary says fraudsters are calling victims via landlines and claiming to be police officers, asking for assistance with an investigation. The scammers then ask the victims to withdraw a large amount of money and give it to a courier who would come to their home. Inspector Victoria Richards said, Luckily, many people recognise that these calls are fraudulent and refuse to hand over any money. However, there are some occasions where people fall prey to the highly persuasive nature of these scammers and lose thousands of pounds. I want to take this opportunity to stress that police would never ask you to withdraw money as part of an investigation and hand it to a courier. Please help us raise awareness by sharing this with your friends and family, especially if they're vulnerable or elderly. Hertfordshire Constabulary gives these tips. Be sceptical of callers, even those who claim to be officials. Don't be afraid to put the phone down with a brief "no thank you." Never give personal information, such as your date of birth or bank details, to unexpected callers. Neither the police nor your bank would ever unexpectedly call you and ask you to withdraw cash or move money to another account. If callers suggest you call your local police or bank to check who they are, use another phone or ensure the line has been fully disconnected. If a caller asks you to type your bank PIN number into your telephone, do not do this, as fraudsters can use technology to identify the numbers. Opt out of cold calls, telephone preference service 0845 070 0707.
Poppy Appeal will remember those lost in past conflicts. St Albans has launched its annual Poppy Appeal to recognise those who serve in the armed forces. This year, the Royal British Legion is encouraging the nation to recognise the unseen service and sacrifice of members of the armed forces, both past and present, under the theme of Remember Together. The fundraising target in St Albans is £85,000, which will go towards the Legion's work delivering lifelong support to service and ex-service personnel and their families through hardships, injuries and bereavements. Jerry McConnell, community fundraiser for Hearts, said, "Each day our armed forces provide an incredible service to our country in all kinds of ways, many of which we don't necessarily see, but all of which impact our lives. Every donation received will make a real difference, not only to the lives of servicemen and women and veterans, but to their families as well, who also experience difficulties dealing with the circumstances of a loved one who is serving." Donations to the Poppy Appeal are used in many ways, including providing crisis grants, sport and art-based recovery programmes, specialist dementia care, lobbying the government on issues that affect the armed forces community, and supporting with benefits and money issues. Legion ambassador and beneficiary Chantel Wynne received support from the Royal British Legion after her husband Ryan, a reservist in the Territorial Army, took his own life after suffering from PTSD. Chantel said, "When Ryan passed away, we thought we had nowhere to turn. However, the Legion provided essential help in the aftermath, helping with paperwork, supporting me through the inquest, and providing us with a holiday to reconnect as a family." Harpenden's 2019 Poppy Appeal will be launched at the War Memorial in Church Green at 11 a.m. on Saturday, October the 26th. A wooden cross will be planted in the memorial garden for those lost in conflict. On Sunday, November the 10th, a Remembrance Day parade will meet at 10:15 a.m. in Leighton Road and head to the War Memorial for a service of remembrance at 10:50 a.m. When the service finishes at 11:30 a.m, the parade will reform for the Mayor's address. And there's a picture here of the right worship of all, the Mayor of St Albans City and District Councillor Rosemary Farmer placing a wreath on the War Memorial last year.
Here are my radio picks from Saturday the 2nd of November to Friday the 8th of November. We begin with those programmes serialised from Monday to Friday. The Book of the Week at 9:45 a.m. on Radio 4 and repeated at 12:30 a.m. is The Man in the Red Coat by Julian Barnes. It's a vivid evocation of the Belle Epoque, which came to an end with the start of the First World War. Tracks is the 10:45 a.m. serial on Radio 4. Parts 6 to 10 continue from last week. The composer of the week on Radio 3 at noon is Dvorak. The Bog Child, the mystery novel by Siobhan Dowd, set on the Northern Irish border, is at 12:04 p.m. on Radio 4 and repeated at 10:45 p.m. In the Extinction Tapes at 1:45 p.m. on Radio 4, Rob Newman tells the stories of species that have been lost forever. At 7:45 p.m. on Radio 4, Who Done It? The Calendar Conspiracy investigates why summer-born children generally do worse in education than those born in autumn or winter. Each evening at 8 p.m, Classic FM has the Full Works Concert, when you can listen to 2 hours of popular classical music. This week, the year's finest recordings are showcased. And now here are my picks of individual programmes broadcast throughout the week. We start on Saturday with Genevieve on Radio 4 Extra at 4 p.m. This is an adaptation of the 1953 comedy film about the London to Brighton vintage car run. Opera is the choice on Radio 3 at 6:30 p.m. when Mozart's Don Giovanni is broadcast from the Royal Opera House. Pet Sounds with Bill Turnbull at 7 p.m. on Classic FM is a timely programme of soothing music to help calm animals' nerves during the fireworks season. 7 p.m. on Radio 4 Extra is the time for Sisters in Satire, a trawl through the radio comedy archives from the 1950s to the present day, when the satirical legacy of a wealth of female performers is showcased. This week's archive on 4, that's Radio 4 at 8 p.m, is Desert Island Myths, 3 centuries of Robinson Crusoe. Christopher Frayling trawls the BBC archive to explore the creation and legacy of this controversial text 300 years after its publication. Drama and music dominate listening on Sunday, but the exception is China and the World at 1:30 p.m. on Radio 4. This week's episode looks at how the Chinese media is seemingly opening up. If you listen to last week's episode of the Inspector Chen mystery, The Red Mandarin Dress, you'll want to listen at 3 p.m. on Radio 4 to Episode 2, final episode next week. The American soprano Jesse Norman died last month, and at 7 p.m. on Classic FM, David Meller pays tribute to her work. This week's drama on 3 at 7:30 p.m. is Brian Friel's adaptation of Turgenev's darkly observant and comic novel Fathers and Sons, which foreshadows the Russian Revolution, with Charles Dance, Julia McKenzie, and Martin Jarvis in the cast. The end of British summertime is marked on Classic FM at 9 p.m, with music celebrating the charms and mysteries of night and day.
We start the week on Monday at 9 a.m. with Tom Sutcliffe, who among other guests has Julian Barnes, who will discuss The Man in the Red Coat, which is the book of the week. A wartime drama is on offer at 2:15 on Radio 4. Set in 1942, Velvet Blackout tells of a young woman with amnesia pulled from a bombed building. This is followed at 3 p.m. by the musical quiz Counterpoint. Also at 3 p.m, but on Radio 4 Extra, is the first of 2 parts of The Radetzky March, an adaptation of Joseph Roth's novel depicting the fall of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Part 2 is on Tuesday at 3 p.m. If you stay with Radio 4 Extra, 2 hours of comedy can be yours. At 4 p.m, Just a Minute, then at 4:30 p.m, Hudwinks, and at 5 p.m, Street and Lane, and finally at 5:30, The Museum of Curiosity. In Tune at 5 p.m. on Radio 3 has chat, music and arts news. One of this week's guests is the popular ukulele orchestra of Great Britain. One of the programmes commemorating the fall of the Berlin Wall, Welcome Money, finds out how former East German citizens spent the estimated 4 billion Deutschmarks claimed from the West German authorities. The subject of analysis at 8:30 p.m. on Radio 4 is Changing Our Minds. Do we ever change our minds? And if so, how? Ceris Matthews has her weekly blues show on Radio 2 at 9 p.m. On Tuesday at 3:30 p.m. on Radio 4, you can take a cruise on the Thames during costing the earth, when you will meet people who've transformed London's river. Three contrasting programmes for fireworks night. First, at 6:30 p.m. on Radio 4, an episode of The Missing Hancocks, when Tony and Bill find a diamond ring in their penny for the guy takings. Then, the usual Full Works concert on Classic FM gives way at 7 p.m. to the second part of Bill Turnbull's Pet Sounds. Curl up with your pet for 3 hours of calming, stress-free music. And also at 7 p.m, but on Radio 3, in Tune Mixtape, heads outside to mark over 400 years since the Gunpowder Plot, with an eclectic non-stop playlist. The Radio Times pick of the week at 8 p.m. on Radio 4 is 99 Days in Number 10. Anne McElvoy tells the story of Prime Minister Johnson's first 99 days in office. Jamie Callum presents his jazz show at 9 p.m. on Radio 2. Free Thinking is at 10 p.m. on Radio 3, celebrating the 1953 to 1979 sci-fi serial The Quatermass Experiment, together with Doctor Who writers Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat.
The first choice for Wednesday is a dramatisation of Edna Ferber's novel and later a musical, Showboat. This can be heard at 10 a.m. or 3 p.m. on Radio 4 Extra. Part 2 is on Thursday at 10 a.m. or 3 p.m. A double bill of comic tales entitled Woof, True Tales of Romance and Failure is at 11:30 a.m. on Radio 4. The drama at 2:15 on Radio 4 is Shrapnel. Having escaped a war-torn city, a journalist returns home. Hancock appears again, this time on Radio 4 Extra at 7 p.m., followed at 7:30 p.m. by Listen to Les with Les Dawson. The folk show on Radio 2 at 9 p.m. is presented this week by Catherine Tickle. In our time, as ever, Melvyn Bragg debates an interesting, often little-known subject which sometimes has topical bearings. This week it is the Treaty of Limerick of 1691, when the war between King William and the Jacobites was ended. From our own correspondent is always interesting. Kate Adie brings us reports from BBC correspondents at 11 a.m. on Radio 4. This is followed at 11:30 a.m. by one of those Radio 4 interesting oddities, House of Dreams, a look at the transformation of artist Stephen Wright's terraced home since 1998, when the surfaces inside and out have been covered by found objects. When Fanny Met Germain is the drama on Radio 4 at 2:15 p.m. It is described as a romp through the real-life friendship of two 18th-century writers, Fanny Burney and Germaine de Staël. The Country Show with Bob Harris is on Radio 2 at 9 p.m. The Fox is a dramatisation of D.H. Lawrence's novel and can be heard at 9:15 p.m. on Radio 4 Extra. The 2019 Free Thinking Imperial War Museum Remembrance Debate on Radio 3 at 10 p.m. considers who should decide what is worth saving in war times and war zones. Friday's listening starts at 10 a.m. on Radio 4 Extra with NASA's Eden, a play is set during the Suez Crisis. Natural Histories at 11 a.m. on Radio 4 examines our fascination with the poppy, from its association with remembrance to the opium trade. The Rules of Palship, the 2:15 drama on Radio 4, is an imagined moment in the life of the young Noel Coward while he was an unknown actor. Three programmes for early evening listening can be heard on Radio 4 Extra, starting at 6:30 p.m. with Off the Page, a discussion on lying. Then at 7 p.m, The Burke's Way, a comedy sketch show. Finally at 7:30 p.m, Steptoe and Son. Friday night is Music Night at 8 p.m. on Radio 2, has the BBC Concert Orchestra playing favourites including Kiss Me Kate, The Merry Widow and songs from Gilbert and Sullivan. If you missed the past 2 weeks' daily serialisation of Tunnel 29, then you can hear the first of a two-part omnibus edition at 9 p.m. on Radio 4. It is the gripping true story of a man who, a few weeks after the erection of the Berlin Wall, dug a tunnel back into East Germany to help escapees. I hope you enjoy your week's listening.
This is Rupert Evershed reading my monthly nature notes for the Hearts Advertiser. Scary wildlife. I may not jump at the sight of a mouse or spider, but I have been known to leap around at the sight of a leech. It's Halloween, and pumpkins and a whole array of decorative paraphernalia have appeared in the shops. Today I absent-mindedly tried to brush off what appeared to be a cobweb across the corner of the shop's card reader. It was a cobweb, but a fake one, part of a larger edifice specially erected for Halloween. I quickly rearranged it to restore its cobwebby character, noting an unrealistic tarantula lurking by the chewing gum. Spiders are classically scary creatures, as no doubt any arachnophobe will tell you. But for me, Halloween is a little incongruous with my usual experience of nature at this time of year. Real spiders' webs are exquisitely beautiful, especially when adorned with dew and backlit by the rising sun. It is as if the morning mist has taken on material form and draped itself on grass and thorn. In truth, very little of British wildlife is really scary. We have just one poisonous snake, moth-eating bats, and harmless spiders. Some friends of mine recently returned from safari in Africa and recounted how their tracker had gone in search of some lion cubs and had been charged by two lionesses. He, however, stood tall, arms waving, and shouted, and believe it or not, they backed off. With such a demonstration of steely bravado, it seemed this man was unshakable. And yet, as they drove on, the jeep passed over a snake lying in the road. It was a black mamba. Utter terror and panic overtook the formerly fearless tracker. Nothing, it seemed, held quite the threat of a black mamba. Not only is it deadly poisonous, a single bite can kill a human within 45 minutes, but it is unusually wily and aggressive. The tracker apparently feared that the snake had latched itself onto the underside of the jeep and was now seeking them out. Jeepers creepers. Needless to say, they all survived, but that day the walkie-talkies buzzed with the news as the tracker shared his worst nightmare with colleagues from other safari groups. Such stories may make our wildlife seem very tame, but that said, it nevertheless has the power to occasionally scare us. The fear we feel is almost always a combination of the creature itself and a degree of hiddenness, perhaps dark, that shrouds its true threat, or lack of, and allows our imaginations to run wild. This summer, a friend of mine texted me with a sound recording he made whilst out wild camping with his young son. It was of a tortured, rasping bark, worthy of any werewolf, but listening, I knew instantly that it was a Reeves muntjac, a common and tiny little deer that bolts at the first sight of humans. Speaking to my friend later, he and his son had lain petrified in their sleeping bags at 4 a.m, believing they might have discovered the Hart's monster. This is perhaps as dramatic as British wildlife gets in terms of scaring us, but it is often the smaller creatures that really give us the heebie-jeebies. The worst of these, from my point of view, is the leech. Thankfully, they are confined to streams and rivers in this country, and hopefully I will never have to endure leech therapy used by the NHS. Of course, they are remarkable little creatures, but with their squirming movements and blood-sucking goal, they send shivers down my spine. My worst encounters actually happened many years ago when trekking in Thailand. In the drenched rainforest, they adorned every level of foliage like little waving needles. We all had to stop periodically to burn them off our clothing with cigarette lighters, but they were quick and not easy to spot. I recall watching in horror as the waving tail of one disappeared down through my bootlace eyelet towards my foot. Returning to our camp, I was relieved to be able to take a shower and check myself over for these little invaders. But there, in the middle of the shower, was a tiny waving brown thread, a veritable monster in my eyes.
Right, this is Peter Burley bringing you a preview of events from mid-November to mid-December. So we're nearly at Christmas, but restrain yourselves, we're not fully there yet. I'm going to start with an event which is not got any seasonal connotation at all, and it's called the Taste of St Albans Festival. And it's on the 16th of November, and it's a day of music, food and drink, all locally sourced, with bars serving all sorts of different drinks, lots of food stalls, and there's a stage with music displays. Starts at midday, it finishes at 11 p.m, and there's various local artists performing, and it's in St Saviour's Church on Sandpit Lane. Now, that might seem an odd venue, but they are really opening the church up for things like that, and it works a treat. It's a lovely venue to be in, because we were there last week for the Flagship Wines Autumn Wine Fair, and I promise you, it's a very nice place to be in, very friendly, very welcoming, and a highly recommended visit. Now, to more conventional things. Let's kick off with what is happening in the cathedral. And we have the St Albans Bach Choir performing Carmina Burana on Saturday the 16th of November at 7:30 p.m. This is by Carl Orff. I don't think it needs much introduction from me. It is very popular in the choral repertoire. My daughters performed it and absolutely loved it. It is going to be all tickets at £15. So Saturday the 16th, 7:30 p.m. Then we have the St Albans Choral Society performing a piece called St Alban and the Martyrs. And that's going to be on Saturday the 23rd of November at 7:30 p.m. And this is their 75th season. Tickets are from £10, so you can pay more. And then we have got the Mosaic Chamber Choir performing Mozart masterpieces on Saturday the 30th of November at 7:30 p.m. And they'll be supported by the Amadeus Chamber Orchestra. The highlight will be the Mass in C Minor and the Solemn Vespers. Tickets start at £15. Then moving on to slightly more Christmassy things, we have got the Willow Foundation Carol Concert on Tuesday the 3rd of December at 7:30 p.m. I think this is free, but I think you do have to book. And then we have the St Albans Bach Choir Christmas Carols, and they're on Saturday the 14th of December. You have to pay for those. There's going to be the Embassy Brass Band supporting them. And it's going to be at 3 p.m. for a family carol concert. Tickets for that start at £7 for adults and £1 for a child. And then at 7 in the evening, there's the adult carol concert. Tickets for that are £13 and £6 for children under 16. Then, Still staying right at the beginning of the month, the Lee Singers have a concert entitled Notre Dame Rising in Song, and there's masses by Vienne and Castanier and motets by Durufle, Dove, Meller and Bruckner. So that's going to be Saturday the 16th of November, 7:30pm in St John's Church, Harpenden, that's on the High Street. Tickets for that are going to be £15. And fairly obviously, this is in commemoration of what happened to Notre Dame Cathedral a few months ago. Now, opera in Harpenden, same evening, so terrible choices to be faced on the 16th of November. The Felici Opera are performing An Enchanted Evening of Song at 7:30pm in Our Lady of Lourdes Church in Harpenden, and that's just at the north end of the common. It's in support of church funds. Tickets are £15 or £5, and it promises that it will be your favourite songs from opera, operetta and musical theatre. The St Albans Chamber Opera have three events in our period, and they're really putting the boat out, aren't they? The first one is on Sunday the 17th of November, and it's going to be one of their tea concerts, and they take place at 2:30, or doors open at 2:30pm for a cup of tea, and the music starts at 3pm, and it's in St Stephen's Church Hall and Watling Street. All tickets are £12. And on Sunday the 17th, we have Lina Saavedra, soprano, and Michaela Brigginshaw on the piano. And they're performing Rodgers and Hammerstein and Back Again, popular songs from the shows. Then we have something that's returning by popular demand, 2 days running, but in different locations. They're going to be performing An Evening with Gilbert and Sullivan. This is obviously an assembly of songs from the various Gilbert and Sullivan operettas. On Friday the 29th, they'll be performing in St Leonard's Church in Sandridge. And on Saturday the 30th, they'll be in St John's Church in Harpenden. And on both evenings, the performances are at 8 o'clock. And both evenings, all tickets are £15. Now, if you prefer jazz, on the 17th of November, the Hertfordshire Jazz Club has a concert by Alex Hitchcock and his quartet, and that is going to be in the Maltings. They're all in the Maltings, by the way. The second one is 24th of November, Mark Nightingale and Andy Hunter Quintet. 1st of December, Art Thiemann and Tom Ridout Quintet. And 8th of December, the Clark Tracy Quintet. Now, all of these, let's say, are in the Maltings. All of them, doors open at 7. The music starts at 7:30. It will finish at 10. And tickets, depending if you're a member, £10. If you just turn up on the door, it is £17. So between those two prices. Now, St Peter's Church has its lunchtime concerts, and you've got three in this period. On the 20th of November, we have Alyssa Fiasova on the piano and Anatole Lieberman on cello. 27th of November, Mira Maharaj on the flute and Dominic Degavino on the piano. And on the 4th of December, we have the Wilson Consort. And these are all Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. And they're free, but there's a retiring collection. Heading south to the Abbey Theatre, we have more opera. From the 21st to the 23rd of November, the Rogue Opera Company are performing Don Giovanni by Mozart. And again, I don't think it needs much introduction from me. It's going to be in the Studio Theatre, so it looks like quite a small scale. The timings are 7:45pm on each evening. And then on the 24th, there's going to be a Sunday matinee, and that is going to be 2:30pm. And tickets range between £22 and £19. Now, the International Organ Festival organ concerts, this has got one in our period. It's on Saturday the 23rd of November. It's in St Michael's Church, in St Michael's, and it's at 5:30pm, and it's not actually an organ concert. It's Carol Serazi, who's performing on the harpsichord. Across the Channel and Back is the title she's given it. Admission is free, but there's a retiring collection. Now, on Saturday the 23rd of November, and I warn you, Saturday the 23rd is a very busy evening. We'll start off with the St Albans Chamber Choir, and they'll be performing Hail Bright Cecilia, and that's going to be in St Peter's Church at 7:30pm. And there'll be work by Britton, Macmillan and Vaughan Williams, and a few other shorter pieces from other composers, and tickets are all £15. Then on the same Saturday, the 23rd of November at 7:30pm, the Harpenden Choral Society is performing a concert. And this is going to be in St Nicholas Church in Harpenden. And they'll be performing Mozart's C minor Mass, Haydn's Te Deum and Bach's Jagdset Gott. And they'll be supported by the King's Sinfonietta and soloists. And all tickets are £15. Right. Let's move on a few more days. And at the Sandpit Theatre, there are two musical evenings. They're both called An Evening of Musical Delight. and they're being performed by the Wellin Harmony Choir. Tickets are £10 down to £5, depending on who you are and how old you are. So it's just two evenings. It's 7:30 each evening, and it's just songs from the shows. Now, over at the Organ Theatre, on Sunday the 1st of December, we have the last of 2019's Vintage Tea Afternoons, and that is going to be at 2:30pm, and you'll be able to listen to some of the quieter instruments in the collection, and that will cost you £17.50. Then on 14th of December, we have a formal organ concert at 7:30 in the evening, given by Andrew Nix, and it's going to be a Christmas-themed concert. Now, if folk music, and we're going back to the Maltings for this, we have something which is not a tribute concert. It's Julie Felix, in person, still going strong. She's now based in the UK and actually living in Hertfordshire. And on December the 6th, she will be performing at 8pm in the Maltings. My particular flyer doesn't have the price, but I think it's usually about £12. Now, the music continues. On the 7th, that's December the 7th, we have a Christmas charity concert in the High Street Methodist Church in Harpenden, and that's in aid of MenCap. It's at 3 in the afternoon, and it will cost you £10. Then we have the last of the 2019 coffee concerts in Harpenden, and that's going to be on Saturday the 14th of December at 10:30, and that's 10:30 in the morning, I should stress, and that is going to be in St John's Church, Harpenden High Street. And the last musical event I've got for you is back at the Maltings, Food of Love at Christmas, and that's going to be on the 14th of December at 8pm. Tickets range from £7.50 up to £13.50, and as well as listening to the jazz-themed concert, you will get a glass of mulled wine. Now, let's have a look at what's going on at the arena. Friday the 15th of November, 8pm, we have a concert by John Mayall, the John Mayall, not a John Mayall impersonator. And tickets to hear him are going to start at £35.50 and work their way all the way down to £30.50. Then we have Ed Byrne doing a one-man stand-up comic show entitled If I'm Honest. That's on Saturday the 16th at 8pm, all tickets £25. Then we have the big band at Christmas. And that they'll be performing on Tuesday the 19th of November at 2pm only. So just one matinee performance. And I think it's self-explanatory. It's the big band sound. And it's as seen at Dame Vera Lynn's Charity Ball and Blackpool Tower Ballroom. Tickets for that are £17 or £15. And we have another one-man stand-up show, which is Alexander Armstrong. And his tour this year is entitled All Mouth and Some Trousers. And he's on Wednesday the 20th of November at 7:30pm, all tickets £29.50. Then we have a show called Show of Hands, and that's on Thursday the 21st of November at 7:30pm. And that's basically folk music. And tickets for that are £26 down to £13. Then we have Steel Eye Span, the real Steel Eye Span, but not all of the original lineup. Steel Eye Span performing various works they've done over the years, and they're going to be on Friday the 22nd of November at 7:30pm, tickets £24.50 and £22.50. Sadly, I think the founder members who were born in or associated with St Albans have actually all now died, which is, as I say, rather sad. Then on Saturday the 23rd of November, 2:30pm, so matinee performance only, we have the Vienna Festival Ballet presenting The Nutcracker. Now, we have another one-man stand-up comedy show, Ardal O'Hanlon, and his show this year is called The Showing Off Must Go On, and he'll be showing off on Sunday the 24th of November at 8pm, tickets £22. Now, we have Elvis at Christmas. This, sadly, is a tribute concert, and it's Elvis's songs performed with a Christmas theme. That's Tuesday the 26th of November, 7:30pm, all tickets £24. And we have a Christmas party concert entitled That'll Be the Day, a brand new 2019 Christmas show. And that's Wednesday the 27th of November, 7:30pm, tickets £27 or £25. And we have a Nat King Cole story, and this is a Nat King Cole impersonator. That's on Thursday the 28th of November at 7:30pm, all tickets £21.50. So this is going to be its live music by somebody who is an expert and acclaimed vocalist. And then the last thing we've got, which takes us right through to next year, is the pantomime. And that starts on the 6th of December, and it's called Sleeping Beauty, and it stars Andy Day from CBeebies. I'm sure you're all familiar with him. Rita Simons from EastEnders, who may actually strike more of a chord for some. Now, let's have a look at the, as ever, a real battery of prices, times, dates, etc., etc. So the most expensive seats on the peak days are £29.50, and the worst seats on the quiet days are £15, and you can take your choice between those two. It depends, say, it's a triangulation between the day of the week, the seat you're in, and how busy it is or how near it is to Christmas. And performances, there are a number at 10:30 in the morning, and that's particularly the week beginning Monday the 9th. So on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, there are 10:30 performances. There are matinees that week, and then every day there's a performance either at 5 o'clock or 7 in the evening. I think if you're going to go, you'll probably want to make serious inquiries about how you handle your ticket buying. OK, let's go north to Harpenden and see what they're doing in the public hall, which is still standing. You may have, I'm sure you've heard the news, proposals to demolish it. And as far as I'm aware, with no plans to replace it. So that would knock a bit of a hole in my session. Anyway, on Saturday the 16th of November, we have the Fine Art of Floyd, which is a tribute show to Pink Floyd entitled Dark Side. It's at 7:30 p.m. All tickets are £20 and all tickets are seated. Then we have Hugh Cornwall on his Electric Monster Tour 2019. And that is on Thursday the 21st of November at 7:30 p.m. All tickets £25 and all tickets are standing only. And he is a singer-songwriter. And I think, looking at the, you probably recognise quite a lot of his songs. He particularly wrote for a group called The Stranglers. Then we move on to Friday the 22nd of November. Ed Gamble in a one-man show called Blizzard Extension 2019. So I think that's a one-man stand-up show. It's at 8 p.m, all tickets seated and all tickets £15. Then we have on the 30th of November, Soulfish. And they are a local, I think they're local, soul band with a blend of Motown, Stax and Atlantic. Tickets for that are all £18, all standing, and performance starts at 8 p.m. And we have Carols by Candlelight. Now, that's in their programme, but they don't actually give any information about it other than it's in the public hall and it's on the 1st of December. Maybe somebody here knows more about it. And then the last event I've got, which isn't a pantomime, is on Monday the 9th of December. And it's Chris Difford and special guest Boo Herwardine. And it's a musical performance and it's going to be at 7:30 p.m. It is £23.50 for all tickets and all tickets are seated. And now we move on to the pantomime, and that starts on the 7th of December. And this year it's Beauty and the Beast. And it stars a star of Towie by Rick Raymond. And I haven't got the full times and prices for that. As I say, it will run from the 7th right through to the 30th of December. I may catch up on more about that next month. Now let's move down to the Abbey Theatre, way down south. And we've got one bit of drama, and that's in the Shakespeare Schools Festival. And this is chunks of Shakespeare's plays performed by local schools groups. And that runs on the 18th and 19th of November, 7 p.m. each evening, and it's on the main stage. So at the Maltings, we've got two plays on. We've got the first one on the 21st or 23rd of November, both performances at 8 p.m. Tickets are £13.50 down to £7.50. And the play is called The Yellow Wallpaper. And it's based on a novel by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. It's about a struggling artist who falls for a charismatic doctor. And he then takes control of her life. Well, I think it's a very modern theme. Anyway, I will leave you to mull that one over. Then on the 28th to the 30th of November, also at 8 p.m. both evenings, also tickets all £13.50 down to £7.50, we have The Children by Lucy Kirkwood. And I'll read out the preview here. Inside a remote cottage on the lonely British coast, a couple of retired nuclear engineers are leading a very quiet life. Together, they are going to live forever on yoghurt and yoga. Outside, the world is in utter chaos following a devastating series of events. When an old friend turns up at their door, they're shocked to discover the real reason for her visit. It's a richly suggestive and beautiful play that will pose questions that will nag you. Right, now something very, very different, a literary event, and this time at Redbournbury Mill. I don't think I very often preview things happening at the mill at Redbournbury. It's on Saturday the 16th of November, and it's at 10 in the morning, and it's called Mission Paradise. And Mission Paradise is the name of a novel written by a local author, Marjorie Ray Lewis. And she'll be there doing book signings and talking about the novel, which is based on her own experience of being an evacuee child here in around St Albans. Now, with somewhat greater trepidation, I will preview the next event, which is at the Museum and Gallery. And it's called the International Toilet Day Quiz. And it's from 7:30pm to 10pm, and it's £10 a head, and you're meant to join up with make-up tables of six. And it's hosted by the London Loo Lady herself, Rachel Cole Wilkin, for a quirky talk followed by a quiz. And then drinks will be available to buy in the evening. Very different again. Let's go to the Cathedral for their adult education programme, and I'll do two events here. The first is on Thursday, the 21st of November, and it's Reaching for God, Beethoven and Faith. And this is an evening that explores Beethoven's music and imagery and his own spiritual vision. And you've got musicians there, so it's not just a talk. There's going to be performances of his music to illustrate it. It's in the nave at St Albans Cathedral, and the ticket, which will be £12.50, will include a drink in the interval, and it lasts from 7:30 to 9:45pm. Then we have on Monday the 2nd of December an evening called Dickens and Spirituality, and I'm sure all listeners are very familiar with Dickens and his ghost stories and spiritual themes that run through his novels. So this is an evening that's going to explore that in rather more depth. It's going to take place in the Alban Room of the Chapter House, say Monday the 2nd of December, 7:30 to 9pm, all tickets £10. Now, the St Albans Architectural and Archaeological Society has two lectures, the last two of this year. We have got on the 19th of November, Discovering a Monumental Mycenaean Tomb. This is given by a leading Greek archaeologist, Yanis Galankis. It's 7:45 Marlborough Road Methodist Church, and there is now a £5 fee if you are not a member and you want to attend a lecture. Still very good value for money, aye. And then on the 3rd of December, was a talk called Before They Fade, Recollections of the Chelsea Pensioners. And this is given by somebody called Robin Ollington. And he's gone and talked to a lot of pensioners and has been involved with the Chelsea Hospital for a long time and realised that actually what they were saying needed to be recorded and preserved for posterity. So he's talking about this project. Then we have the Hats Off Comedy Club season, and we've got their last concert, or last performance, I should say, of the year. That's going to be on the 22nd of November. It's in Homewood Road United Reformed Church. The doors open at 7. The comedy starts at 8. Tickets are all £20. And I must say, I've been meaning to get to one of these for ages, and this is quite an attractive venue to get to for us. Now, I'll finish off with a couple of more outdoor Christmassy events. And the first one is to remind you that the Tillichbury Christmas Market is on from Saturday the 23rd to Sunday the 24th of November, 10am to 5pm. It's free and it is extremely enjoyable. We tend to go each year and highly recommend it. Then there's a curious little programme called Tinseltown Festive Pop-Ups. And this is a series of little pop-up performances all over the city centre here in St Albans. And it starts on the 27th of November and is then every Wednesday and Saturday right through to Christmas. And there's all sorts of music and other sorts of performances. It's mostly going to be pop-up performances of music. Then we have the Mayor's Carol concert, and that's going to be on the 8th of December, and it'll be in front of the clock tower at St Albans. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't say when it starts, so if you're very keen, you probably need to get there about 10 in the morning and wait and probably up to 12 hours to make sure you don't miss it. Then we've got two last events I'll do. On the 24th of November, we have a Christmas carnival in Harpenden High Street, and that is going to have all sorts of associated events with it, and there's a procession, lights switched on and so on. And lastly, in Harpenden again, it starts on the 29th of November and then is repeated on the 6th, 13th and 20th of December. It's in St Nicholas Church on the Green, and it's partly in the church and partly outside, and it's singing carols, listening to some readings and being served with soup. And it's at 1 o'clock to 1:30pm on all of those days. And I say that does sound like a very warming, cheering, festive Christmas event to finish with.
Hello, it's Jill Burridge here again, and I'm joined, as always, this time of the month by David Arson.
Hello.
To go through some of the musical concerts that are coming up in the St Albans area over the coming weeks. So we'll turn to Sunday the 10th of November. We're going over to Hatfield for that concert at the de Havilland Philharmonic Orchestra performing in the Western Auditorium, aren't they?
That's right. They're doing a couple of concerts for families with the artist James Mayhew painting live on stage. And they're going to feature a couple of pieces, Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf and the Ravel Mother Goose Suite. Prokofiev wrote Peter and the Wolf in 1936, and it tells the well-known story about Peter and the Wolf with a cat, a clarinet, a bird, a flute, a duck, an oboe, a grandfather, a bassoon, and the wolf being represented by three horns. It's, if you like, the sort of Russian equivalent of Benjamin Britten's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. So I think that'll be very popular. I hope it'll be very popular with young people. Ravel wrote his Mother Goose Suite originally as a piano duet for two children, called Mimi and Jean, aged, would you believe, 6 and 7. They must have been quite prodigious in their talent. The five pieces have subtitles, which include Sleeping Beauty, Tom Thumb, Beauty and the Beast. Later the same year, he orchestrated it and expanded it. It's also sometimes done as a ballet. The orchestral suite, which they're playing, is probably the best known version today. So we thought you might like to hear just a little piece from Peter and the Wolf. Here is the bird, as played by the flute.
An extract from Peter and the Wolf, the bird. That's a lovely introduction for young children, actually, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
To music and concert style, because it has a narrator going
yes,
through
it,
so
yes.
It's sort of broken up
yes,
and
yes.
things. Lovely.
Yes. And there's an actual story.
Yes, there is, to follow. So Sunday the 10th of November, the de Havilland Philharmonic Orchestra performing in the Western Auditorium at Hatfield, which is the university campus there.
Yeah.
2 o'clock, and then again at 4:30.
That's right.
We move to Saturday the 16th now, and over to Harpenden and St John's Church. The Lee Singers are performing there.
This is also a rather interesting concert. Their concert's titled Notre Dame Rising in Song, and in it they will perform two masses, one by Vienne and the other by Yves Castanier. Since 1988... Castanier has accompanied the choir in the daily services in Notre Dame Cathedral. He's famous as an organist and an improviser, and this mass is written for choir and two organs, as was often the case with French masses. You have a grand orgue, which is the big organ, and an orgue du chœur, the organ which just accompanies the choir. He started it in 2002 with the Kyrie Sancta Zenonis Dei, and the Gloria added in 2007. It's titled after the great Gregorian theme, Salve Regina, which probably dates from the 11th century. It is a fantastic piece. The Sanctus in particular, which we're going to play you a bit of in a minute, being a real virtuoso showcase for the organ. I've conducted this piece and I can tell you it's very, very exciting, both to conduct and to listen to. They're also singing a mass by Louis Vierne, who was assistant to Vidor, he of the famous Toccata from the Fifth Symphony, at Saint-Sulpice, and then he was organist of Notre Dame from 1900 until his death in 1937. They're also going to sing some motets by Maurice Duruflet and Anton Bruckner, both of whom had connections with Notre Dame, and also a piece by Jonathan Dove called Seek Him Who Maketh the Seven Stars. Now, for those of you who know St John's Church Harpenden, there is, of course, only one organ in there. But for this occasion, they're going to add another organ. They're going to produce an electronic, virtual, state-of-the-art Hauptwerk Cavaille-Coll organ, which is a famous French make of organ. Now, if you've never heard these modern electronic instruments, don't be put off. They make an absolutely amazing sound, and they're almost indistinguishable from the real thing. So something really unusual in St John's Church. They'll use this electronic machine and the loft organ that's already there. Now, just to give you a flavour, here's the beginning of the Sanctus of the Castanier Mass.
That has real wow factor, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely.
Absolutely
yes.
Amazing. It's rather nice as well that, because I often think that concerts must be planned months and months and months in advance, but to see that they're responding to the sad fire at Notre Dame and doing a concert around, planned around the French composers. Lovely.
Yeah.
So that's Saturday the 16th of November. The Lee Singers are performing at St John's Church in Harpenden, and the concert starts at 7:30. As always, there's a clash.
Indeed.
Yes. We have a big concert over in St Albans that night at the Cathedral, 7:30, and the St Albans Bach Choir will be performing another wow factor.
They will. Karl Orff's Carmina Burana. This is not often done in churches, as the text is somewhat racy, though you wouldn't know it because it's in Latin. The title means songs, Carmina, of Buren, Burana, and the collection of songs and poems was discovered in the Benedictine monastery in Bavaria in 1803. There are over 100 songs, which were written in a mixture of German, Latin and medieval French. They were mostly written by a group called the Goliards, a band of poet, musicians, scholars and clerical students who celebrated with earthy humour the joys of the tavern, nature, lust and love. The collection was published in Germany in 1847, and Karl Orff came across them in 1934. A selection had been translated into English and formed part of a publication called Wine, Women and Song. Orff chose 24 of them and divided them into three parts, Springtime, The Tavern and The Court of Love, and bookended the piece with an invocation to fortune, O Fortuna. Of the three elements of music, melody, rhythm and harmony, Orff decided that he was going to focus on rhythm for this piece. The soloists are somewhat stretched, the tenor and bass going into those stratospheric heights into which they do not normally venture. The tenor in particular, in the movement about the roasting swan, sings in falsetto most of the time. Now, you may have noticed that the sort of time this came out, which was, of course, the time of Nazi Germany, and the Nazi regime was at first rather nervous about the more erotic overtones of the piece, but were eventually won over by the sheer popularity of it. It became the most famous piece of German music. Probably not the first or last time that politics gave way to popular demand.
No.
Indeed, the last time you've heard this piece probably was in a surfing ad for Old Spice aftershave, an outcome I don't think even Karl Orff ever imagined. Anyway, here is the bit, O Fortuna.
You can imagine the crashing waves.
Indeed.
So that concert is Saturday the 16th of November. St Albans Bach Choir will perform Carmina Burana in the Cathedral, and that starts at 7:30. That will be a very popular one, so it's worth booking ahead.
I think so.
The following night, Sunday the 17th of November, St Albans Symphony Orchestra will be at St Saviour's Church. And this again is a concert for children. It's really nice
two things for children.
And this is an you don't have to have children to go.
No, of course not. No. This is an afternoon one, 2:00 and 3:30. They're doing a couple of shows in St Saviour's called We're Going on a Bear Hunt and features music by Ian Stevens. This is an opportunity for children to hear a full symphony orchestra and to meet musicians and even try out their instruments. Fancy dress is encouraged, but not obligatory. Now, I gather, Jill, that you know much more about We're Going on a Bear Hunt than I do.
Well, it comes from the very popular picture book that Michael Rosen has written. I used to work with Michael Rosen, so I know all about this one. And I've been reading it to my grandchildren too. It's lovely. It's often done as a play. I've seen it done as a play, so I should be rather intrigued to see how it works as a concert.
Because
it's sort of, you know, it's about a family who go out one afternoon and we're going on a bear hunt, we're going to catch a big one. And they go through the mud, slishy sloshy, through the grass, swishy, swishy, swishy. So it's all about words and sounds things. So no doubt it'd be rather nice if it's sort of played on
instruments. I wonder if they're going to have a narrator.
I think they will, because I don't think you could do it without. But that one will be very popular with littles and larges as well.
Good.
So that's the 17th of November, St Albans Symphony Orchestra in St Saviour's Church, 2:00 and 3:30, two performances of We're Going on a Bear Hunt. On then to the following weekend, the 23rd of November, and this time St Albans Chamber Choir. We've got so many similar names for choirs, haven't we? It's quite confusing.
And we've also got three concerts this particular night.
Right.
One in Harpenden and two in St Albans. Can we start with the Harpenden one? St Nicholas's Church. And it's a programme which includes a Te Deum by Haydn, a Mass by Mozart, the great C minor Mass, considered one of his greatest works, written in Vienna in 1782, just after when he got married, and they moved from Salzburg to Vienna. And also featured in the programme is Bach's Jauzit Gott, a cantata for solo, soprano and trumpet. It's the only piece he ever wrote for that combination, and it is, as you would expect, celebratory, the text being, "Exult in God in every land." And they're also doing a setting of the Te Deum, We Praise Thee, O God, by Haydn, a piece he wrote for the Empress Maria Theresa, the wife of Franz I of Austria. The Empress apparently was always asking Haydn for specially composed church music, but his employer, Nicholas Esterhazy, was reluctant to allow his famous employee to write for anyone but himself. How the Empress got round this, we don't know, but it was first performed in 1800 in Eisenstadt, the home of the Esterhazy family, to celebrate the visit of Lord Nelson and Lady Hamilton. It's a jolly piece for chorus and orchestra, and here is the opening of it.
Part of Haydn's Te Deum, which will be part of the concert on the 23rd of November, Harpenden Choral Society at St. Nicholas's Church in Harpenden, and the concert starts at 7:30. So now we'll switch back to St. Albans.
Yes, in St. Albans on the same evening that the St. Albans Chamber Choir is giving a concert entitled Hail Bright Cecilia. Now, Cecilia, a legendary Christian saint, suffered martyrdom in Rome around 230 AD. It was said that she sang to God as she was dying, which led the church to adopt her as the patron saint of music and musicians. Her feast day is November the 22nd, and in this concert we can hear Benjamin Britten's Hymn to St. Cecilia. Britten himself was born on St. Cecilia's Day and set the poem by W.H. Auden called Anthem for St. Cecilia's Day. It was written in 1942, and its broadcast in 1946 prompted the Musicians' Benevolent Fund to institute their now annual service for the celebration of St. Cecilia in London. The concert includes all sorts of works commissioned for this festival. George Dyson's Live Forever, Glorious Lord, 1952, John Gardner's A Song from St. Cecilia's Day, 1973, and Sing Mortals All by Arthur Bliss, 1974. The choir of Royal Holloway College, London, also holds an annual St. Cecilia concert, and two of the pieces written for that are also being sung, James Macmillan's Cecilia Virgo, which he wrote in 2012, and La Musique by Gabriel Jackson, which was jointly commissioned by the choir and Dame Felicity Lott in 2013. Also included is one of my favourite Walton pieces, Where Does the Uttered Music Go?, text by the poet laureate John Masefield, which was written in 1946, for the unveiling of a memorial window to Sir Henry Wood, the founder of the Proms. Vaughan Williams' Silence and Music will also be performed. This was written as part of A Garland for the Queen, a collection of pieces formed from British leading composers as a tribute to the Queen in her coronation year 1953. And finally, Herbert Howells's A Hymn for St. Cecilia, this time with words by Ursula Vaughan Williams, commissioned by the Worshipful Company of Musicians to mark his mastership of the company in 1959. So a most interesting programme of lots of works, all dedicated to St. Cecilia. St. Cecilia's Day is November the 22nd, and the concert on November the 23rd.
Okay. Silence and Music. There's an author called Rose Tremaine who wrote Music and Silence.
There is. That's a wonderful book.
It's an amazing book. I wonder if she nipped the title from Vaughan Williams's piece. I don't know. Well, we shall never know. Maybe somebody listening knows the answer.
Perhaps we'll know if we go to the concert.
Okay. Saturday the 23rd of November, again, St. Peter's Church, this time in St. Albans, and the St. Albans Chamber Choir are performing that lovely celebration for St. Cecilia. And the last concert that evening is...
In the Cathedral, and it's titled St. Alban and the Martyrs, and it features two first performances. The first, a world premiere of The Martyr's Call, a cantata in stone, which was inspired by the seven stone statues of the martyrs sculpted by Rory Young in 2015, which are on the nave altar screen in the cathedral, and the first performance in the cathedral of Liz Lane's The Story of Alban. And this has got also a specially invited chorus of St. Albans school children and a narrator. So two new pieces, and the concert finishes with John Rutter's Gloria, a favourite with choirs and audiences. So here to finish off is the fanfare-like start, just to whet your appetite.
Part of the Gloria from John Rutter's work. So that concert is Saturday, the 23rd of November. You've got three choices that evening. That particular concert is at the Cathedral, starting at 7:30, when the St Albans Choral Society will be performing. David, thank you very much indeed for giving us a taster all the musical delights. When we do these items, I always think we're very fortunate in St Albans and the area have so much music going on. It's really exciting. So we'll be back again in a month or so to look ahead. I guess we will be getting to Christmas by that stage.
Christmas by then, yeah.
My word. So. Okay. In the meantime, everybody, enjoy your listening.
Indeed.